raise a couple more to the revolution.
We have only three words for you.
Uh-oh.
We're taking over!
The world is alive.
Why not raise a little hay?
Ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls, welcome to another episode of the Q0 Theater Cast. This is your artistic director and your host, Dan Pelletier, here today with our final cast member of New Space, wrapping up our Get to Know the Cast series. I'm here with Alex Brown, who plays Malcolm, the owner and founder of New Space. Say hello to the people, Alex.
Hey, everybody.
So, Alex, just maybe if you can start us off, give us a little bit of background of your acting and theater experience.
Yeah, of course. So, like most people, I got the theater/acting bug in high school. And ever since high school, that bug has just never left.
What was your first show?
My first show was Deadwood Dick, actually. That was kind of based on the... well, actually, it wasn't based. The HBO show was... Deadwood was based on that.
Oh, so it's like a Old West kind
yeah,
of
Old
drama
Western.
Thing.
Yeah.
Nice.
Yeah.
And when was that? Like, when in high school? Was that, like, early high school?
That was junior year of high school.
Oh, cool. And then post-high school, what was your theater path?
Basically, I kind of wanted to branch out into film a little bit more. So I did a lot of, like, commercial work in the Boston area. After going to college for a couple of years, I went to California for a few years, did some black box theater out there. I did an awesome, I was part of an awesome cast of a rendition of Office Space. And I played Milton and several other characters. It was awesome. And then I also got some minor roles as background in TV shows out there. And then a few years later, I moved back here. Kind of got my bearings a little bit, and I've been kind of mainly focusing on film, but I love the theater side of things too, so I'm just getting into theater as well. I did 2 years ago I did a play for theater company Saugus called The Underpants, and it's a play by Steve Martin.
Mm-hmm.
And that was also a phenomenal cast and phenomenal show to be a part of.
Nice. So are you originally from the area? Like what?
Yeah.
So that brought you just coming home?
Yeah, I'm originally from New Hampshire. Grew up in Brookline, New Hampshire, a little small town right over the border. And, you know, I just have, you know, that bug and a knack for acting.
Yeah.
And, you know, that's, you know, I've been bouncing between theater and film and whatnot, and it's what I love to do.
It's good to branch out. Do you have any particular roles other than the ones you've talked about that were your favorites, either on stage or on screen?
Yeah. My favorite was I was in a play called Of Widows and Vegetables in high school. And I played the lead character, Harlequin, that basically... His character stepped in and out where basically he talked directly to the audience at times and jumped right back in. That was the most fun. That was my favorite part to play. In fact, funny little story is the beginning of the play, my character Harlequin, he has to pull out the coffin with the dead body. So I'm doing my thing. I'm tugging on it. You know, it doesn't really weigh that much, but I make it look like it weighs that much. And by the time I get the coffin on the table where it's supposed to be, I bend over and the crowd goes ballistic. They laugh so hard. And I didn't even know this until after the play ended. But basically, when I had placed the coffin on the table, my pants split.
top 10 actor nightmares.
Yeah.
I've also had that. Luckily, I think mine was during a dress rehearsal, so it wasn't the end of the world. Mm-hmm. But yeah, nothing worse, especially when your butt's to the audience. And
well, I think it was kind of more, it was a little bit of a comedy play, so it kind of worked in a way, actually, which is kind of cool.
That definitely helps.
Yeah. As far as film, I had the opportunity to work with Mel Gibson and John Lithgow in Daddy's Home 2.
Oh, nice.
I was a featured background in a scene where they're both in the bathroom. And I, you know, am a disgruntled moviegoer and whatnot for people who haven't seen the movie. Basically, everyone gets trapped in a movie theater because of a snowstorm. And so people are just miserable all over. And basically, my character was to just go in, go to the bathroom, wash his hands, and walk out. And I actually have probably a total of probably 2.5 to 3 seconds of footage of myself walking behind them. So,
hey, that's more than most people can say.
Yeah,
getting that featured screen time.
Of course,
that's great. So, you know, being somebody who's experienced both mediums, what would you say is the biggest either difference between stage and screen, or the challenge of going back and forth between the two?
Well, the biggest difference is theater being live, and film, you know, you can't cut up theater. You can't say cut, work on it a little bit, tweak a couple things, and go from there, of course. So I'd say that's the biggest thing. And that's kind of like, that's where my true passion and love is theater. That's where it kind of comes from, because nothing beats live entertainment. But film, you know, film also has a message and everything, and unfortunately, film, it's where most of the money is made. So,
right.
But theater is definitely where my heart is, for sure.
Yeah. Now, do you more gravitate towards the small space theater? Like you said, you did some black box theater show, like this is going to be in an intimate space, over like the large proscenium, because it's got, you know, because you can have a more toned down, realistic acting style similar to film? Or does space not play into like the choice?
Yeah, space doesn't really play into the choice. I would, you know, do it either in a small theater or a giant theater. It's not really, I don't really have a preference towards that. You know, I mean, my high school theater was a lot bigger than what I've, you know, done previously. So space doesn't really play a factor in deciding on what to work on.
Makes sense. What type of roles do you enjoy playing or gravitate towards, like, overall?
I really love the character acting roles. The ones that, you know, basically, you know, support the lead. I really love just getting, you know, creating and giving, basically, in a sense, to the character, giving a life to the character, and making it, you know, my own. I think that's where I get the most joy out of it.
Do you have any dream roles that you would love to play and haven't got an opportunity yet? Like, what would be your perfect ideal production to be a part of?
It's not necessarily the roles that I would want. It's more of who I'd love to work with. Christian Bale, for instance, is a great method actor. I'd love to work with him on screen. Or on the other side, theater. I'd love to work with Denzel Washington at, on, you know, a theater scale. Or Ethan Hawke. Here is doing a lot on Broadway as well. You know, and those are a few aspirations I have. But ultimately, just love working where the work is, and love working anywhere and with anyone.
Was there any big difference? I mean, of course, you know, the amount of theater and film happening in California on the West Coast compared to Southern New Hampshire is, you know, night and day. But what would you say are the biggest differences between, you know, even if you want to go as far as New York or Connecticut or even Boston, in the acting scene as far as East Coast versus West Coast?
Well, as far as theater is concerned on the West Coast, there's not really a huge market for theater. It's just good to do while you're out there, I guess, you know, to work on your craft. But as far as, now you're saying just theater or film as well?
Either or, just the, you know, the life of an actor living on the East Coast versus the life of an actor living in California.
Well, one is freezing their ass off. right now.
Yeah, that is a big difference.
And the other one's stuck in traffic. So, but basically, I mean, it's New York. New York is a great theater and film mecca. But the funny thing about film is that everything's getting filmed everywhere these days. Mm. With all the streaming devices and all of the shows popping up. I mean, Netflix just said that they're going to come out with 92 movies in 1 year. So, I mean, the work is out there. And I mean, as far as speaking of East Coast and the hottest place to work, as from an actor's standpoint, is Atlanta, Georgia.
Hmm.
That is the number one place to be for an actor. Theater, though, I mean, as far as there's Branson, I'm sure you've heard of Branson, Missouri, to be, you know, do a lot of theater. New York, of course, is number one. But Chicago,
yes.
Chicago's an excellent place for theater. And I actually had the opportunity to see a show at the classic Cadillac Theater. I saw a rendition of Phantom of the Opera, which was amazing.
Nice.
And I love Chicago. I mean, I don't care how cold it gets. I that's my favorite city.
Yeah, no,
I've ever been to.
I've been meaning to get out there, especially here the new works scene and the experimental theater and improv is second to none Chicago.
Oh yeah.
And so, you know, where that's the type of theater that Q0 is definitely interested in, we'd love to take an excursion to Chicago.
And you can't forget about the food.
Yes. Yeah, that's true. Food, cultures, sports,
yeah. And theater. The culture, the art, the history. The history itself is quite incredible as well.
Now, you mentioned Atlanta being kind of the hotbed right now for TV and movies and things. Do you have, you know, why would you say Atlanta is the place to be right now? I know, like, The Walking Dead shoots there, and Netflix does film. I think they filmed some of Stranger Things there. I might be mistaken on that, but I know that Netflix definitely is shooting something there.
Mm-hmm.
What makes Atlanta so attractive?
The tax breaks. It's cheaper. That's the biggest thing.
Mm.
But also Marvel Studios has a studio down there. So, you know, how busy they are these days.
Yeah. every other movie that comes out seems to be Marvel.
Yeah.
Great.
I'm just waiting them to put based on a true story. but basically, Atlanta is there. A lot of shows from Comedy Central get filmed there, like TV comedy shows. Everything. It just seems like a lot is getting filmed down there, which is great. You know, but like everything... If you're not New York and if you're not Hollywood, like everything else, you know, there's going to be sort of a decline.
Mm.
But it's not in the near future, obviously, because, like I said, I mean, with Netflix and with the... Everybody's filming everywhere kind of thing. And there's a lot of work out there.
And there's a lot of... you're definitely right. I think with all the different mediums between the streaming services, YouTube... the millions of cable channels, traditional, non-traditional film, and independent film is definitely blowing up over the past few years. Because you can shoot a feature film on your phone and enter it in a festival, and it will match up to quality. Actually, I think, you know, going back to Chicago, I think Chicago either did or maybe still does at one point had a film festival that the requirement was you had to shoot and edit the entire movie on a phone.
That's awesome.
Something like that just sounds like a fascinating challenge.
Yeah.
Hey, Q0 fans. This is Artistic Associate Tom Locke coming to you, asking if you were wondering how you can join the revolution. The easiest way to join the revolution is to become a Q0 member today. By becoming a member, you're going to help us bring more work to you. Included with that are many great benefits, including our newsletter, merchandise, signed memorabilia, exclusive podcasts, exclusive videos, access to our New Works blog, and so much more. We have two different options that you can use to become a member. One is our annual option through our GoFundMe, or we also now offer a monthly option through our Patreon, starting at as low as just $2 a month. Search Q0 on either GoFundMe or Patreon, or check out the links in the show description. Sign up today and join the revolution.
For sure. Great. Any final thoughts on, you know, your theater background, or, you know, the challenge and difficulty of being a professional working in the business?
Yeah. The main thing I would say is to everyone who is acting is just keep doing it. Mm. Just, you know, persistence pays off in the end. You know, that'd be the first and foremost. You love doing it, so you don't care necessarily. I mean, obviously, you have to you have to take care of yourself and your family and whatnot. But, I mean, you know, as far as money's concerned, you know, the love comes before the money. Mm. I remember that as well. And basically, come out and see the show and have fun.
I want to kind of go backtrack just a little bit. You talked about that you're really driven towards more character pieces, that you can get a little bit more involved. Is there a particular acting style or technique that is a favorite of yours that you like to apply to your work? Like, what's your training background, if any?
Well, I have, out in Los Angeles, I took a few classes with at Ivana Chubbuck Studios, which is a pretty pretty highly sought after group. And basically what she brought to the table was a lot of combination of Meisner and other types of method acting. So it's more, I guess as a technique, really, I mean, I think the best type of techniques for me is doing the homework, the preparation. Preparation is the number one thing.
Now, were you like preparation, throw it all out and just be in the moment? Or do you like to be more methodical in your approach to something and make sure, you know, what you do in rehearsal, you're trying to recreate every time?
I think it's, I definitely love recreating every time. I think that's important to kind of try different things and evolve, but I think it's a combination of both.
Okay.
I don't like to necessarily stick to a T. I don't necessarily want to go off the rails, but
right.
what that one class always taught me though is that in acting there is no rules. So so it's just a combination of doing the work, preparing for the work, doing the work, and letting itself play out.
Great. So let's shift gears. New Space, the season opener for Q0 Theater Company. You're playing the role of Malcolm, who is the entrepreneur that owns the company. Talk to me a little bit about your character.
Yeah, so Malcolm is a gentleman that basically has kind of had a few trades under his belt. He kind of lived the Wall Street life. Before Wall Street, he basically had a childhood friend by the name of Vic, and basically he's kind of kept in touch with Vic over the years. Vic got himself into a little bit of trouble with the law, so basically Vic is taken under Malcolm's wing. And Malcolm has started a tech company by the name of New Space, and New Space has been around for about a little over a year, and Malcolm has basically been torn in all different directions by basically working with the private or the public sector.
Yeah, he's a real hustler. You know, he's the business mind.
He's the business mind. It's his business. It's his baby in a way, and he's basically looking at all angles to make it, just to make it in the tech business.
Yeah, make all the money you can. Very Wolf of Wall Street kind of mindset.
Yeah.
So what has the workshop process been like for you? Now, we've talked on the podcast in the past that, you know, this is a workshop piece. We came in with a 33-page script that's now up to about 70 pages.
Mm-hmm.
You know, what has that been like, and how has the character evolved over these past few weeks?
Yeah, it's been excellent. I've really enjoyed the collaborative, creative effort with everyone. You know, and all the questions that I've asked and have been answered have been really telling, you know, to the character, and I've enjoyed everything. And basically, you know, that's not just the beauty of it in theater, but also the beauty of it in film, is that everyone comes together for one common goal. And how you get there is the fun.
Yeah. Is this your first time really working this in depth with, like, the writer on a piece, or do you have a lot of experience having the opportunity to workshop on pieces and give that this
amount of feedback? It is the first time with myself working directly with the writer, because all of the plays that I've previously been in have been other people's work. So this is really cool, and it's not only cool for this particular piece, but, you know, the piece in the future. You know, like, when we all had a conversation about how just Manchester, New Hampshire alone is changing a lot to have a more art feel to it, and, you know, more bookshops and cafes and whatnot. So, and I think it's really cool to have a nice, new, fresh, you know, fresh work is always the best work.
Manchester is on the dawn of a new age, and there's a screaming need for younger and fresher art and culture. And we're seeing that, as you said, you know, we got, like, Boards and Brews and Electric Avenue, you know, the Bookery, Jupiter Hall, all these different great things that are really trying to change the landscape. You know, for the better. Without giving too much away about the plot, what to you has been the biggest change in where Malcolm was the first time you read the script to where Malcolm is in this current iteration of the script, which we are pretty much finalized at this point?
Yeah, the biggest change is through his struggles with his decision making, struggles with keeping it all together. You know, because, like, everyone knows, when they start their own business, it's never easy getting it off the ground, especially a tech business, on that note. So I think that's the biggest thing, is seeing the character grow from one point where, when he thinks all else has been tried and been done, and he knows he's doing the best that he can do to keep everything together, it just gets even more intense and more in-depth as the play goes on, which I think everyone will see.
If I said you only had one sentence to sell people on why they should see New Space, what is your one reason why people should come see New Space?
The one reason. Come see me. No. No. To come see it, I would say come out to see something new. See something new. Have fun with it, and I know this is a couple sentences, but no, just the main thing is come out to see something new.
Yeah, great.
Fun and new.
Yeah, that's, that's a big part of our mission, is new and fresh. We want everything to be different and keep evolving and changing, stand up to complacency. Final thoughts on New Space. Is there anything you feel, you know, is particularly interesting about this that we might not have talked about, things you'd like to share with the audience, or just, you know, something you want to talk about?
I don't want to give too much away, but all I want to say is it's relevant. It's relevant.
It's unfortunately relevant.
Yeah, it's unfortunately and truly boldly relevant. So, but, you know.
Yeah.
That's what makes it fun.
It's great. We need that theater that's reflective of our times. You can only...
Yes.
Yeah, you can only do a play about, you know, 50 years ago that we've solved that problem. You know, we need these pieces about technology and corruption and all those different aspects of the modern terrifying reality we live in. Alex, is there anything else? Do you have any other projects going on right now, or is New Space really your only acting endeavor on the burner at the time?
Yeah, it's the only thing right now that I have on my plate. I've kind of been, you know, I also have a job, a real job, a survival job. So I've been kind of switching jobs at this point now. But New Space is what I'm working on now. There's a couple of projects that I kind of have in mind that I'd like to write. Probably one feature film and something of a play.
Oh, I did not know that you also do some writing.
Yeah.
Have you actually had the opportunity to get anything produced, either film or stage?
No, I've written a couple things, and I just, you know, I don't really necessarily want to jump the gun. Mm. And I've written a feature film that's supposed to be in three films, a separate three films.
So has, you know, being an actor working with a writer and director on an original piece, has that kind of reshaped your way that you might approach writing something in the future? Like, what have you learned about writing through being an actor on a new piece?
Yeah, it's taught me quite a few things, you know, and of course with your background of, you said you mentioned that you have is it a bachelor's or master's?
I have my bachelor's in theater. I didn't actually have a concentration, but basically I was kind of focused on directing and writing.
Okay, so, well, basically what you've kind of shown, you know, me and the other cast members is that, you know, through certain exercises and through the blocking and whatnot, that basically there's a lot of there's always more depth. Mm. There's always more depth, and there's always more to explore about your character. So, and that's been a lot of fun, and that's definitely something that I can take not only with me on future projects for acting, but also writing as well.
Yeah, the importance of this said and unsaid, and
yeah,
what happens between the lines is,
oh yeah,
just as important, and you can just leave those little nuggets there that a director can latch on to. Mm-hmm. So if you were to develop these pieces, would you want to direct them yourself, or would you want to hand them to somebody and collaborate? You know, what would be your ideal situation to help you, you know, get these to the next level?
Yeah, well, there's one piece that I would like to direct, and I would be directing with my friend who I wrote the script with. The other one, I could probably shoot, you know, direct something myself to kind of pitch it, and kind of like a demo or so to pitch it to other people. You know, and I think directing is something that I would like to explore down the line. But I think, you know, I probably don't necessarily want to jump the gun on that.
Right. Either. Yeah. It's gotta be right. It's a difficult thing.
I'm going to act, write, and direct.
Yes. It's a challenge. I just want to take a second to apologize to the listeners that the sweet sounds of Creva Academy are creeping up again, because it is currently a solid like negative 10 degrees out. So the heat we're so thankful for, yeah, but it also likes to be loud in this 2,000-year-old building.
Yeah. The pipes are here.
Yes, the pipes are calling. But no, you're right. It's scary to put yourself out there, and you just, if I can recommend anything to you, it's just sometimes you gotta jump in the deep end before you're sure you can swim, and put it out there. And I know a lot of industry professionals that I've had the time to talk to say the biggest thing you can do right now is create your own work and build your portfolio. And that's what speaks to the people with the money and things. So like, if you can go in and already present to them, oh, look, I've got, you know, this 15-minute version of a movie that I want to turn into a feature film, and I've got, you know, these six other scripts in my trunk, and I've had all these other experiences. Those are the types of things that will open the doors for you. So I do hope that sometime in the near future you get an opportunity to either make one of these films, or maybe even down the line you can take some of it to our upcoming Playwright Circle, which we're going to have starting in February at Jupiter Hall. Mm-hmm. So you can get a chance to have something read.
Yeah, and that'd be awesome.
Workshopped. You know, I think something we've all realized during this process is just the importance of having the work read by actors, that because things that might have read in your head one way when you hear them out loud are different, especially when you have somebody that isn't familiar with it. So, you know, like, what have you taken away from just, like, you know, the tape? We've done a ton of table reads with this. Like, mm-hmm. What do you think is the importance of a table read when, you know, creating your work?
Well, the, like I said before, the preparation is key. Mm. The preparation is very key. And having, you know, having one, you know, a great cast to work with, is, you know, always excellent.
Yes.
And basically, you know, the learning has been a lot of fun as well too.
Well, I'm glad, we're glad to have you aboard. It's been such an incredible process for us so far as we close in on just about our first month of putting it together. I could not be more excited, but also like overwhelmed with taking this finished product to the stage the first weekend in March at Creva Academy. But we're glad to have you. Hopefully this has been, you know, an equally enjoyable process for you, and that we'll be able to collaborate again, you know, possibly, as I said, you know, either as an actor or maybe we'll workshop some of your work. Parting thoughts for the Q0 listening audience, Alex, anything you just feel you need to share with the good people that listen to this podcast?
Yeah, of course. Before I get into that, I just want to thank you, Dan, for the opportunity to be a part of this. And, you know, if anyone is ever thinking about acting or is still working hard as an actor, keep going, keep doing it. And if you're new to it, just jump right in. It's a fun ride. But again, thank you very, very much. I'm very grateful to be a part of this, and I'm looking forward to further collaboration in the future.
Well, thanks, Alex. Again, it's been a delight working with you as well. So one final time, just want to plug that hope this episode should be out in time, that we haven't put the show up yet. So New Space plays March 1st, 2nd, and 3rd. Tickets on sale now at cztheater.com. Check out also our Facebook page. All of our social media would have links to the ticket website. They're only $15. Start buying them now before it's too late and we fill up all of those seats. So one last time, I'd like to thank Alex for being my guest. This is Artistic Director Dan Pelletier. As we always say, support local theater and join the revolution.